Welcome to the Joplin and Andrea podcast show, where we discuss all things faith, family, and fun. I'm Joplin, and this is my lovely wife and co-host, Andrea.
Hello, thanks for joining us. We have a great show lined out for you guys today. First of all, we're going to be talking about be still and know that I'm God. How do we do that? Second, we're going to talk about how to slow down enough in this fast-paced society to hear the voice of God and discern it. And third, thanks to Joplin's comment on the show last time, we're going to be talking about our dogs. And somehow that's supposed to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
All of this is today on our show. So let's get it started with our first topic. This last Sunday, you preached about Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. This is a lot harder than it sounds, especially in the fast pace of today. So let's talk about how to get this and apply it in our lives.
All right. Yeah, so Sunday morning I preached at the second service on the idea, concept of slowing down. And it's a really important concept, you know. The Bible teaches us that we're supposed to do it in Psalm 46:10. And, you know, we live in this weird era of time where we go. And even in the old days when, you know, you might wake up early and start working early and work throughout the day, it was around the home. The family unit was together. And there was just a lot more time throughout the day for quiet time, devotion, you know, meditation. And the purpose or the point, I guess, that was most important to me when I was looking at that passage and we were talking about it Sunday is that on the back end of be still is the know that I am God. And we see that part of knowing God, actually knowing Him, and in that place of intimacy, knowing God, well, it requires that we be still. And I am convinced that because of the pace of life that we live in this country, and not just here in America, there's a lot of other countries worldwide where this has just become the pace of this time. Yeah, it is there. Consequently, what happens is people's relationships suffer. Their relationships with their children suffer. Their relationships with husband and wife suffer. Divorce and just depression and anxiety and just emotional issues are almost at an all-time high when you look at historically, since the creation. And of all the relationships that probably suffer the worst, it is that true, deep, intimate relationship with God. And so this is a really important topic. Mm-hmm. And for me, I think this verse is one that if it's ever going to have impact, it really has to be meditated on, and you need to dig into it because it's kind of, I don't mean to offend anybody when I say this, but it's kind of a cute verse. It's one of those cute verses everybody knows, and they kind of repeat it when they're stressed out. You know, it's kind of, you'll find it on, a card that you might purchase at, Hallmark to give to somebody in their time of trouble. But when it comes down to truly obeying the verse, learning to be still and actually implement it, there's just not a whole lot of people that are doing it. And so we want to talk about that today. It's really going to be the thrust of the entire show because it is that important. Mm-hmm. We want to discuss, why? What's the purpose? Does it really matter that we learn to slow down, be still? You know, how do we do it in a world that is so fast-paced? And in the end, we're going to talk about kind of what advice we might give to somebody that ends up hearing what we're about to talk about and says, hey, I want to do this, but I don't know where to get started. I don't know how. So that's what we're going to start with, and we'll just get right into why. You know, why does it matter? Why should we begin this process in our lives of learning to be still? What does that look like? So what are your thoughts, Andrea, on why? Why should we get this practice of slowing down and being still?
Why we should. It is the biggest, you said it right there, it's the biggest thing that we need to have, right? And it's the most important thing in life. And if we don't have that relationship with God where it needs to be, nothing else is going to work anyway. We're going to have more struggles with our spouse. We're going to have more complications with our kids, and life just isn't going to fall into place like it needs to. And, you know, the Bible has so many different, just different verses that God applies and can speak to us. And I know there's been time where I've been like in prayer or just listening, and that he'll speak something into my spirit that wasn't something I had just read or thought of, but it's something I had read before and I needed it for what I was dealing with. And I think it's so important, because without that, the rest of life doesn't function right. And even the hard times are way more difficult because we just don't have God first and foremost. And so it is important.
I think it's also important, you know, this is kind of a entry to, you know, our faith with what I'm about to say, but it's important simply because it's a command.
Yes.
You know, we have to learn to do what God says because God says it. And when we dig into what God tells us to do and why God tells us to do it, there's always reasons. God knows what's best, and it's always in our best interest. But at some point, it's much like children trusting their parents. You know, mom and dad can't always explain to us the reason behind everything they do. And there's a point in time you just have to trust the leading of your parents, you know, when you're children. The same is true with God. And for starters, why should we do this? Because God commanded us to. You know, this is a command from the scriptures to be still and know that God is God. And so it is a command. But beyond that, right, we don't just do it only because we're commanded and we don't understand any benefit in it. The reality is there's great benefits in slowing down and being still. Nothing brings peace to the troubled soul like knowing God. And so what I want to do is talk a little bit about that back part of being still. We're going to come back to being still, but let's talk about knowing God, because that's the real reason of why. Why do we do it? And why did God command us to do it? Well, because listen, number one, God wants us to know him. That is an awesome thought. We know that God knows us.
Yeah.
The Bible says that he knows our name, that he knows all about us before we ever formed in the womb, and that he has his eye on us, that he knows our thoughts. There's never really the question of, does God know me? But this is about us knowing him. And what an incredible thought that God wants us, God wants you to know him. To think of all the, you know, people, for lack of a better word, that you could know. To think of all the relationships that you could have. There is nothing more significant than knowing God. I was recently asked if I could meet anybody on the earth, who would that person be? And even when you think about that question, you're just meeting the person. There's a difference between meeting somebody and actually knowing somebody. God says, I don't just want you to meet me. I don't just want to meet and greet where you can say, hey, I've met God. God wants us to know him. And there is nothing that will bring peace to the troubled soul like knowing God. And that's why we got to learn to be still, because it's part of the process. You can't know anybody that you don't spend time with. And we are living in an era of time where millions who are going to church, they call themselves Christians, they know about God, but they don't know God.
I've thought about it this way, because it was put to me this way years ago, that it's just like your, you know, your spouse or your kids. If you never talked to them or never really got to know them, what kind of relationship would that be? And so I look at it like that with God, you know, and it's easier to put it into perspective that God's just like that with us. You know, he's not sitting tangibly in front of me, but he wants to know me just like I want to know you, and just like I want to know my kids and my parents and, you know, those close to me. And so that's helped me in when I try to spend time with him.
So we want to discuss how then, right? We've discussed the importance of, yes, this needs to happen. How do we make it happen? And so we are going to do that right on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
On the go, but still want to jam to your favorite local station? Download the TuneIn app and search Alive 105 KDKQ. With the TuneIn app, you can rock out on those road trips across the country or on your walk around the park with Fido. So grab a leash, your phone, and listen to Alive 105, music that's good for you, on TuneIn.
Welcome back to Joplin and Andrea podcast. We've been discussing how to be still in a time like this, and so we're going to get started right back with it. Joplin, how? How can we apply this to today's society and our current life situations?
Well, before getting into the details, I do think that we have to acknowledge that we've had a lot of demands put on us in this society. You know, you think about even sports. Man, when I was a kid, when we were kids, baseball was an 8 to 10 week thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you practiced once or twice a week. Even if you were part of the All-Stars team, you'd go on and play for an extra 3 or 4 weeks. And then you had the rest of your summer. And you still had summer time during
summer,
you know, even if you're playing baseball, they just tell you not to swim on game day, you know, and we normally break that rule anyways and show up all sunburnt and tired. But now, even with sports, our kids are training constantly from the time they're little, and we're running all over the place. More and more and more now so than ever, it requires two incomes in the household in order to, and a lot of times, just tread water financially and not be going under. And so moms and dads are working and kids are all over the place and it's just busy.
Well, even schooling, like when we were younger, college wasn't a norm, and now you can't do anything without having college.
So it is busy. You know, and I don't think we have to convince our listeners that. They just know it's busy. And so the question of how then, how can we find time to be still, is an important question. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the first thing I'm going to say is this: you have to make it a priority. You have to make it a priority. And I look at, you know, my life, and I can say it is something that I have made a priority in my life. It's been consistent a priority in my life. And, you know, people sometimes will ask how do you find time to do what you do and yet spend time with the Lord? And here's the answer. I don't have any more time than anybody else. Mm-hmm. And nobody that's listening has any less time than anyone else in the world. We all have exactly 24 hours a day. And so it really comes down to how you choose to use it. And I don't want to step on toes, hurt people's feelings, but it comes down to prioritizing and what you think is most important in your life. I remember when I was coaching competitive soccer for our daughters, that we were in competitive leagues where a lot of the teams that we were competing against were practicing twice as much as we were. And I told our parents, though, that this just isn't a mentality I embrace. And if that is the mentality you embrace, you're on the wrong team. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the best we can to coach these girls. We're going to be competitive. And we were. In fact, we even won the league one of the seasons that we played. So it's not that we were non-competitive because we weren't practicing as much as everyone else, but it was about priorities. And when it comes to being still, you know, people resist it. Now, once you get in a certain system where you're just busy all the time, it's really hard to slow down. And so you've got to make it a priority. Mm-hmm. It has to be important to you. And what have we done to make it a priority? You know, I think that's an important question. And so I'm going to yield that to you first. You know, what have you done to make it a priority in your life? And before you answer that question, I want our listeners to know my wife has had to work our entire marriage. And whether it was working out of the home and running a child daycare to create income, she has, you know, her and I planted the Well Worship Center in Derby, Kansas in 2006 and grown this thing from the ground up. She has served in every capacity you could think of, from children's director to office manager to graphics design to our worship team, working with our youth. There's just no capacity she hasn't worked in, put in a ton of volunteer hours, raising four children. And she, you know, my point is that her life is as busy as any woman that I know. And yet this being still and learning how to be committed is about prioritizing, finding time, has been a mark of her life. And so tell us, Andrea, how have you done it? What are some of the methods and things that you do? What are times in your life maybe when you've, well, I'll ask that. I got a follow-up question. So let's just start with, what are some of your methods? What do you do?
Well, I'm just going to be transparent that some days it's a lot harder than others, but I think it's important, especially for like moms, to know that, you know, it doesn't always have to look the same. And that's the most important, is that we're finding the time, and that maybe one morning I wake up and it works where I can spend time with in the morning. But you know what? Tomorrow I'm going to wake up and it's not going to look like that because I have to hit the door running. You know, it just works that way. But that day I end up finding, you know, 15, 20 minutes somewhere else. And so it doesn't always look the same. And often if you wanted to, you know, follow what my Be Still or my prayer life look like, it's crazy. It's all over the place. But the most important thing is that it's there. And so I think that's what is a good thing to get across to our listeners, is that it doesn't always have to look the same. I think that's when we get in trouble, when we think that it has to be this like absolute pattern. Well, maybe that does work for you. But for a lot of us who are managing, you know, four kids and a job and their sports and everything else, it doesn't always look the same, but just finding the time to make sure that it's there.
So what, tell me this, was my follow-up question. What has it looked like and how has it impacted you in the moments and seasons of life where you find out you just haven't been making it a priority? You're going so fast that you're not taking time to slow down, be still, and spend time with God and know Him. What happens in those seasons?
Those seasons are the rougher seasons because I'm trying to do it all by myself. And it's amazing how through those seasons, like, God's gently trying to show us, you need me. And I think the most important thing too is that in the seasons when, you know, like, I do get busy and I'm not spending near as much time with God, maybe there's been a couple days where I haven't did much of anything because I'm just so busy, it's just an important reminder that when we do, God always finds time somehow to make your time up. It's just, it's incredible how He does that. But if you will give God the time, somehow He'll make something work easier, or He'll just adjust something to where that time you find was made up and that you really actually didn't lose any time anyway. And so it's incredible how God works out through those little details. And it seems like on the times when I don't make God a priority, nothing's working right and I don't have enough time for anything. And it's just, it's incredible how God's promises are true and how He always just works things out. So
the picture that comes to my mind there is Jesus' disciples in the middle of the storm rowing, but they're not getting anywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's like when we don't slow down. You know, it's like we feel like if we just keep going fast, somehow we're going to eventually get caught up, but we don't. Mm-hmm. And really, we're just in the middle of the sea, and it's storming, and we're just paddling our little hearts out, but we're not getting anywhere. And it's not until we stop and be still and focus on God and spend time with God that all of a sudden things change. And man, I wish there was some way I could say that and people would just receive it and believe it, because it's the truth. And in my life, it's, you know, it's a principle I just had to learn, that I can't do what I'm supposed to do without being alone with God. I just can't do it. And so it's something that you know, I've had to be committed to. And I want to expand on, you know, what you said about it being different. It's not a rigid thing. There was early in my Christianity, I actually dealt with a lot of condemnation because it didn't look the same. my goal, what I wanted, was 2 full hours every day of prayer and study, and I wanted it to be real structured. And it just wouldn't, I couldn't get that. I couldn't get it structured like I wanted. And what I came to see was that the structure that I wanted wasn't real authentic. It was more like I knew I needed to check the box off, and so I needed something to check. And one of the things the Lord did that really helped me like get released of that guilt was I took a look at our relationship. And I thought, and it was almost like the Lord asked me this question, what would your relationship look like if the way it worked with Andrea was that you gave her exactly 30 minutes every morning where she could speak to you and you would speak to her? And then you would go like crazy the rest of the day. And then at night, between say 9 and 9:30, you would give her another 30 minutes and allow her to speak to you and you would speak to her. And you were structured, and that was the way you did it every day, the entire week, every month of your life. What would your relationship look like? And I thought, well, that would look really plastic. Mm-hmm. It would look really not deep. And God was like, yeah. And so that's not really the way it's supposed to work with us either, son. It's about this constant, ongoing relationship with me. And what you've got to be able to do, instead of looking at, do you have this rigid, rock solid, never changing schedule that guarantees a certain time during the day? Instead, you need to look at it. And this is the way I tend to do my life. I look at it in chunks. I look at it at 1 week. I look at it at a month. I look at it, you know, at 3 months at a time. And I look back and I ask, have I been spending time with God? Has it been a priority in my life? And if the answer is no, it's something I need to repent of and get right. And if the, you know, but most of the time I can look back and say yes. You know, my time with God might be from, you know, early in the morning and until 9 or 10 when the day starts. And sometimes it's not, it's sometimes between 1 and 3. I actually find there are seasons of the year when everybody else is at work. First shift is going. Mm-hmm. I've got everything else going on at the church, and everybody kind of lined out first part of the morning. Kids are at school. There's nothing going on between 1 to 3. That's a great time for me personally, Joplin Emberson, to be able to get away and spend my time with God. It doesn't work for everybody else, but it works for me. There are times when the evenings are just best. Like, kids are in bed, it's 9 o'clock, and you know, you're still doing some housework, and it's like, I'm going to go on a walk. I'll be back in 30, 45 minutes, and I go and spend time with God. And so I've learned it's not about this rigid plastic thing. It's a real thing, but you've got to be committed to it. People want to know how. Listen, it's got to be a priority, and you have to see it as crucial to knowing God. So what advice would you give? So say somebody's listening now, and they're saying, wow, I see this verse in a different way. I see that if I'm going to know God, I have to get this discipline of learning to be still and spend time with God. But how do I start? It just seems daunting. What do I do? What advice would you give somebody in that scenario?
Sure. I would give somebody the advice. Well, first of all, I wanted to just add something to what you said. I have come like over the years to just look at God in more of a relationship like I would with my husband or a close friend, to where you can talk to him at all, you know, at all times. I know when I was first Christian, I would have somebody who would say, hey, would you pray for me? But it would just be something in the middle of my day, not necessarily right where I could just drop what I was doing and praying. And I've came to find out over the years that you don't actually have to, you know, be on your knees and get in this big formal thing to find time to pray. That you can actually, you know, just stop what you're doing, pause for a second, acknowledge that person and lift them up to the Lord and just do it right then and there. I mean, God's constant. He's always with us. And so those are something that I would suggest too, that if you know, you're not doing that and something happens at work and it was a bad scenario, stop and pray. I mean, God is there always and he's there to help us at any given moment. And so I've learned in my relationship to do that more and more, more frequently, just to remember he's that friend that's constantly there. But to somebody who's never actually started with like that private personal time, I would just encourage you to start off slow. You don't have to start off with this huge you know, 15 minutes of silence. Just start off with five and let it grow. And sometimes it is awkward at first when you're listening and you don't hear a whole lot. But I just want to encourage you to keep listening and keep letting your time grow and letting that relationship grow, because God is there and He does have something to say. And some seasons it is quiet. And, you know, we don't know the reason why He's quiet, but that doesn't mean He's not there and He's not working, because He's always there and He's always working. So I would just encourage him to just start somewhere, even if it's small. And
yeah, that's what I had to do. I remember, it's amazing to me, I'd probably been saved 10 years. And I mean, I was, I was a very active Christian, pastoring a church, preaching, evangelizing, winning people to the Lord, but yet I hadn't learned this principle we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. And I remember when God started dealing with my heart on it, and I started seeing this principle. And so I decided, you know what, I'm going to learn to spend time with God and not just talk all the time, because that's kind of what my prayer life looked like. There was no being still. It was like, I need to go pray, so I'm going to go pray. I'm going to go tell God what He needs to do. I'm going to tell God the things that I need. I'm going to tell God the things everyone else needs. And then I'm going to say amen and get back to work. And I saw that God wanted my relationship with Him to be deeper than that. And so I'm like, well, this is weird. What do I do? You know? And I remember the very first time I went and I set out and I thought, I'm going to give God a chance to talk to me. And so I prayed and then just said, Lord, if there's anything that you want to speak to me, I'm going to try to sit here and be still and listen. And it was like right after I said that and I'm sitting there, my mind's thinking, how long do I stay here?
Yeah.
Like, what if I, am I supposed to stay here for like 2 hours or 5 hours? At what point do I get up and walk away? And this is going to sound silly to some, but I settled on 5 minutes. And it was my starting point. And it was like, I just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. And if you have something to say, great. If not, I'm going to get up. And I started doing that. 5 minutes turned to 10 and then to 15. And so it was a really, really important turning point in my life. God used it to bring me in a greater relationship with Him. Mm-hmm. And so my advice to people out there, like, where do you start? Start somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, get it settled. This is something that you need to do. Get it settled. This is an incredibly important part of your life. And just get started somewhere. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, I want to close today with something a little fun. We're talking about peace, right? We're talking about finding that inner calm. And so let's talk about our dogs today. We've got some dogs, plural. Tell us, Andrea, how do the dogs contribute to your peace?
I'm not sure actually how the dogs got tied in with this segment, because the dogs don't bring me any peace or inner calm or anything. They actually probably bring me more of a bit of a frazzled mess of anxiety. That
our pups are good pups.
Sometimes.
They're good pups.
They've actually been fighting a lot. And so it's become a really big problem, because they don't just like play fight. They're like fighting to the death. And so it's kind of been a struggle with us, but that's kind of where we're at with them right now.
Whose idea was it to go get these dogs?
Well, I did contribute to going to get one dog. One.
And she then, found it on the internet, showed it to the whole fam.
Yep, it was at this dog breeding place in Conway. And so we all fell in love with this puppy. We were going to go get it. And bam, turns out the lady has two. And that they're brothers.
Mm-hmm. They are
our
brothers.
Our girls loved one. The girls still do. And the boys love the other. And one of them's a whole lot more playful. He will just play and play and play. And the other one loves to eat food.
Yeah, sure does. Yeah, they are good dogs.
They are
I
cute.
Love the dogs. The kids love the dogs.
They are cute.
Andrea
we don't have
does
grass
it so much.
In our backyard right now, though. We've did a lot of construction. And so they like to go outside and get as muddy as possible. And then they come inside. And you know who cleans up the mud?
Andrea does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I feed the dogs. The kids always say they're going to feed the dogs, they're going to take care of them, but they don't. we do it. I cut the dog's hair and feed them, and she cleans up after them. And yeah, it's quite a deal. Andrea is not really a dog lover. We've had bad luck with dogs. Mm-hmm. We had dog that didn't like her.
I must say, too, that when we went and got these dogs, the lady said they were full-sized, and they have over than doubled
yes,
their size.
So they were supposed really to be 12 to 15 pounders, and they're like 25.
And yeah. They're huge.
So, Andrea's just had bad luck with dogs her whole life. And she would like to know if one of our listeners wants one of our dogs. She's no, we've got to keep one. I think our kids would be devastated if we had no dogs at all. But if somebody out there wants a dog, shoot us an email and we might be able to work something
out. Call us today.
Hey, that's all the time we've got for you guys today. We love you. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
See you later.